From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. One of North America's lingering mysteries is the route of Spanish explorer Hernando de Soto through Alabama in the 1500s, and the site of his epic battle with Chief Tuscaloosa. For several weeks, a team of archaeologists has been conducting a preliminary survey with metal detectors. So today we're checking in by Skype with Teresa Paglione of the Alabama Archaeological Society with an on-location report in West Alabama. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us from West Alabama on behalf of the Alabama Archaeological Society.
Well, it's a pleasure to be back with you, Carolyn. I know we've continued our history in your hands, but it's been a while since I've been on.
I'm delighted to have you back. You are kicking around in the dirt in a field in West Alabama. What are you doing there?
Well, right now, it's part of a survey looking for Spanish artifacts from where De Soto trekked through Alabama. And we're on a big site that actually we think predates when De Soto came through and maybe post-dates. Doing some metal detector work. So if you hear beeping in the background, so when you hear that beeping, it means we're coming close into a target that is made out of, out here, it's mostly made out of iron. We've mostly been finding nails and actual bullets and cartridges, you know, the typical Southeastern regalia. But when there's silence, of course, there's no metal. And we line up places that are like 10 by 20 foot, and we swing the metal detector back and forth up one way and back down the other and flag the hot spots. And then we go back and excavate little shallow holes trying to find the metal. And of course, you know, we're swinging the metal detector over handfuls of dirt sometimes trying to find that little tiny bench staple.
A couple of years ago, we did an interview with you, and you set the stage of what happened in the 1500s when the Spanish arrived in Florida and De Soto trekked through Alabama. So where do we stand in that story?
Pretty much where we were last summer. I'm just one of the volunteers out here with seven or eight other volunteers, and University of West Alabama's Dr. Ashley Dumas is leading the project with the assistance of Jim Knight, Professor Emeritus from University of Alabama. He's more likely to be remembered or known for his books and excavations at Moundville. But we're out here just looking. I've got a former Alabama DOT employee.
And you have two other university archaeologists involved in this. Where are they from?
Charlie Cobb is from the University of Florida. He's one of them that was working at the Stark Farm, where they have found where they battled the Spanish troops, and it actually is Mississippi. So we have some of those same people related to the Stark Farm site out here helping us. And we also have Chester DePrater. He's retired from the South Carolina Institute for Archaeology and Anthropology.
You know, Teresa, when you're talking about all of these archaeologists from these other states, you're talking about a story that is European contact with Native Americans. What you're doing there is trying to thread through that story. So where do we stand at this point?
We're looking for De Soto. So we're looking for a site that dates to 1530 to 1550, give or take. And that would be based on the pottery. Once we have figured that out, then we'll know we're in the right time range for where De Soto was. And that's when we start looking for metal artifacts that are iron. At Starkville, they recovered a number of horseshoes. That's one of the more prominent artifacts that have been found. And celt and little tools made out of iron that the Indians reused when they retrieved the iron from the battle that was at Starkville. We're pretty sure De Soto did not head south along the Alabama River. If he did, it was not for very much. And over in West Alabama, we're finding tiny, late Mississippian period, Moundville-like sites, no mounds, but the same kind of pottery that the Indians of that time made with the precise decorations that would have been cultural item in the middle 1500s. So that's what we're doing, is collecting the shell-tempered pottery and looking for the designs and rib decorations. We found scatters of them. We're probably in the western province of Mabila. We're on the edge of it, and we're working eastward as we get permission from landowners. This is all volunteer. Actually, we do have a grant from the Alabama Department of Archives and History, and that's what we're going on. So we have three West Alabama students that are being paid for their assistance, and the rest of us are out here free of charge.
How about the landowners? How are they with this story? Do they realize that we're talking a story of international importance?
Yes, there's a few of them that think it's really interesting what we're doing. We do have one or two landowners that are just so excited about what we're finding and what we're doing. And on one landowner's place, he was like, "You got to call me every time you find something. I want to come see it. I want to see what you're doing." And he actually came out and watched a couple of the crew members one day. And I told him, it's like walking people back and forth and just watching them, because that's what we're doing in these plowed fields. We separate each other by 3 to 5 rows, and we walk all the way down and all the way back. We've looked at hundreds of acres, and this is the third one.
And when you use the term Battle of Mobila, this is actually an epic battle between the Spanish and the Indians. So it is thought that it encompassed about how many people in that battle, or do we even know that much?
Oh, yes, if we finally find Mobila. And what is there to find? I mean, one of the important things is not just that it's a battle site, but it was an important event in U.S. history, because these are some of the first explorers into America running into these indigenous populations. And we do have some descriptions of what they were like and what they dressed like. And they're not primitive that you hear about running around in leather and mud huts and things like that. They had quite a culture going where they had a lot of architectural elements to their houses, even to the mounds, which were actually before them. So I say, if you're familiar with Bottle Creek or Moundville, those are planned communities. We have a clue in the chronicles, which were written after they returned, that there was up to 2,000 Indians killed. There were probably maybe 40 or 50 of the Spanish killed. I mean, they're wearing armor. They're not wearing the metal armor as much at this point, but they have some of that heavy quilt that is so thickly padded that spears and arrows of the Indians aren't going through. And this is like close hand-to-hand combat. This isn't shooting at each other across the field. The Spanish were lured into the village of Mabila. We think Chief Tascaloosa was planning an ambush, and that apparently is what happened, where he had hundreds of warriors in some of their houses and temple buildings and public structures. And DeSoto basically comes out, and he's in there waiting for Tascaloosa, and Tascaloosa's not showing up, and they come out, and it begins. They're not Creek Indians. This is before they become Creek. These are basically indigenous or native populations, but they're not Creek Indians yet. But we're trying to figure out, how did these woodland populations become the folks that the culture that encountered DeSoto, that became the culture that we know as the Creek Indians or the Cherokee or the Choctaw or the Chickasaw? That's the whole end plan, anyway.
Well, Teresa, thank you, because you are helping unfold the story of North America.
Well, I suppose we'll be back with you, Carolyn.
Joining us by Skype from West Alabama for a History in Your Hands segment was archaeologist Teresa Paglione of the Alabama Archaeological Society. More information about the organization can be found at the website alabamaarchaeology.org. Meanwhile, we'll keep tracking the story of Hernando de Soto's trek through West Alabama, hoping that one day the Battle of Mobila site can be located. Thanks for joining us for In Focus, which is now a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.